Turn to your neighbor and tell them, say, thank you, Father. Turn to somebody else and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. All right. I'm going to open with a scripture that I don't have on my opening scripture, but I'm going to open in Colossians chapter 1. This came to me this morning, so I just want to share that with you in opening up today. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 13. It kind of ties into our message. The entitlement of our message is giving thanks, giving of thanks. So we're talking about giving thanks. So verse 12 says, of Colossians chapter 1 says, giving thanks. Everybody say giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us and to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed unto us the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, through the forgiveness of sins. Everybody say, thank you, Father. Everybody say, giving thanks to the Father. Praise God. So the New Testament, brothers and sisters, tells us that we should be giving thanks unto the Father because he has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance. And we always say, what? Of the inheritance of the saints in life. Not that we're going to get an inheritance, but we can be a partaker. God has made us able or meet or qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance in the saints in the light. Amen. The Amplified Classic says it this way: the Father has delivered us and drawn us unto himself out of the control and dominion of darkness. We always say control, dominion, and domination of darkness. So we give thanks because God has drawn us out, or he's brought us out of the control, the dominion, and domination of darkness. Praise God. And transferred us. We've been transferred. Everybody say, I've been transferred. And we've been translated. Amen. So you remember, Sarchak didn't come up with the word translation. Amen. God did. He translated us, amen, out of darkness into light. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So that's why we thank the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Satan's dominion can't control us anymore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's turn to our opening scriptures that we have listed here. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Let's all read that together, and we're going to read the next verse together. They're big enough, so everybody should be able to see it. Ready? Read. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now we give thanks to who? God. Now, we know this is Thanksgiving week, and people will be giving thanks on that day, but we are New Covenant, New Testament, Christ, in Christ, born again, blood-washed believers and Christ followers. We should be giving thanks to God always, right? Now, we said that these two powerful verses, Thanksgiving, we see, are connected to victory and triumph. So we want to learn that Thanksgiving is connected to victory. Victory is a grace, and so thanksgiving is an accessor and an activator of grace. The grace of victory. When do we do it, brothers and sisters? We do it not just after the victory has manifested. We do it before. We do it before the victory is manifested. That was enough to just take home with you today. Amen. You're supposed to give thanks when the problem and the victimization is occurring in your life. You thank God for the victory, that he gives you the victory. That's a present tense continuum. That means because I'm thanking God, he's giving me victory. Before the victory occurs, before the victory manifests, the before you see any sign or symptom of victory, you're thanking God for it. And then that thanksgiving triggers or activates God giving you victory. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Because some people want to, when we said doubt despairs, worries, complains, and is sad. But faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Don't be a doubter. Don't be a pouter. Don't be a fire putter outer. Unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there's too many doubters, pouters, and fire putter outers. Be a person of faith. Faith rejoices. Faith gives thanks. This is a big component of the wheelhouse of faith, the faith life you live. Amen. And is glad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Amen. It's also tied to triumph. Now, thanks be to God who, how much? Always. Everybody say always. Always leads us into triumph. Same context. It's a grace that God gives when he receives our thanks. It's a grace that God gives when he receives our thanks. So our thanksgiving precedes the leading, God leading us into triumph. Always leading us to triumph. Always causing us to triumph. The thanksgiving precedes that. Y'all got that? So it's the inference and implication is not that just thanks or thanksgiving after victory or after the triumph, but before. Thanksgiving activates and accesses grace. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. So how do we increase our capacity to receive from God? We cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. So in other words, our series this whole month has been what? Thanks living. Not just thanksgiving, thanks living. You need to be living thankfully, living gratefully. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. And sometimes we can cut off, you know, and cause bad things or things that break through things from not going away from us or not helping us through our troubles and triumphs, our troubles and trials, because we're not thankful. We can prolong them and protract them in our lives because we're not thankful or grateful to God, because God gives grace. And the Bible says in James, he gives more grace. And he gives grace to who? The humble, those who are humble enough to receive it. In other words, thanksgiving is an act of faith, which is also an act of humility. You're not being prideful or pitiful, self-pity, wallowing in self-pity about the problem or the pain or the pressure you're under. You're saying, thank you, Lord, that you give me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. You sing the old good Keith Moore song, right? Thanks be to God who gives me the victory, gives me the victory, gives me the victory. Oh, thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Over sickness and disease, my God gives me the victory, gives me the victory, gives me the victory. And then he sings another verse, over poverty and lack, my God gives. You could have not two nickels to rub together, but you're singing that. You're singing and giving thanks. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, next slide, guys. Now get ready to take notes. I know it's a busy slide. There's two busy slides. So what does thanksgiving look like? The first verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, what? Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So instructions for us to give thanks to God in every good, bad, or evil situation. We give thanks that all things are working together for our good and for God's glory. He didn't say give thanks for everything, but he said in everything give thanks. So a thanks living lifestyle looks like everything I'm in, whether it's good, bad, evil, or indifferent, I'm giving thanks. All right, Colossians 3:15, Amplified Classic. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which all members of Christ's bodies, as members of Christ's body, you were called to live. You were called to live this way in peace, not in panic, not in peril, not in paranoia, not in pressurized living off of pressure. You live it off the devil's stimulus. You're not supposed to be stimulated by the devil's fear. Fear brings torment. That's pressure. Amen. You were called to live in peace. Everybody say, I'm called to live in peace. Amen. That soul harmony which comes from where? Christ. It's supposed to act like what? An umpire. How often? Continually. Where? In your hearts and in your minds. Amen. So the peace of God rule in my heart, quiet my mind from fearful thoughts. And when problems arise, like storms out on the sea, the peace of the Lord is upon me. I let the peace of God rule in my heart, quiet my mind from fearful thoughts. And when problems arise, like storms out on the sea, the peace of the Lord is upon me. The peace of the Lord, I sense this peace flowing in this room, is upon me. Not hectic and frenetic and panic and scattered and shattered. Peace. Peace that comes from Christ. He bequeathed it to us in John 14. He said, my peace I give unto you. 14:27. John 14:27. Not the peace of the world. My peace I give unto you. I bequeath it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid or in fear. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. So that's where you're called to live. Not in panic, not in paranoia, not in scattered and shattered. In peace. That means you get to sleep good. You get to wake up refreshed and not stressed. And then, of course, and be thankful. There's that big and in there. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God. How often? Always. Be thankful, not thankless, not unthankful. Be thankful. When you're full of thanks, you're thankful. When you're full of thanks, be thankful. Amen. There's no place between thankful and unthankful. So if you're unthankful, you're not thankful. And we challenged or encouraged everybody, don't go 30 minutes without saying thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You got to keep that tank full by being thankful. Amen? Amen? So we're to let Jesus' peace rule in our hearts and minds. Be thankful and appreciative to God always. So in other words, we're not to talk about, think about, ponder on, meditate on what? Things we don't know, things we don't have, and things we can't do. We've got to live these three things. We've got to live out these three things. It's because when we start to talk about, we begin to ponder on, we begin to commiserate with other people about and meditate on things we don't know, we can lose our peace and we can lose our thanks living. If we meditate, talk about, think about, ponder on things we don't have, we can lose our peace and our thanksgiving. And we talk about things we can't do. I can't do this. I can't handle this. You open the door to forfeit your peace and your thankfulness. This is a big deal. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it. Everybody say the last two words with me. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Woo! So an effective prayer life requires ongoing attention. Continue earnestly. Spiritual alertness. Being vigilant. That's what it's saying, right? Being vigilant. Be on guard. Be on watch. Don't be asleep. Don't be sleepwalking. Be alert and aware. How's your prayer life? Are you watching and praying? Or are you just blabbing and forgetting about your prayers? Each one of us have a prayer responsibility to make sure our petitions reach heaven and get authorized and accepted by heaven. Many of us may be one of few people who are Christians in our families, active loving God, acting, following Jesus Christians in our family. So we got a big responsibility, right? To continue earnestly, where? In prayer. And to be vigilant, but we got to be vigilant in it with what? With thanksgiving. Somebody say, praise God. And so be and gratitude, but these disciplines lead to spiritual fitness and ministry vitality because God gives us all prayer responsibilities over our family, our children, our relatives, our extended family. But if you're not praying and you're not watching with thanksgiving, you'll get disgruntled. You'll get disenchanted. They act like they don't want to get saved. They act like they don't want to come to church. They act like they don't want to follow Jesus. That's becoming unthankful. You have to put the with thanksgiving with your prayer life. To be effective, you have to put the with thanksgiving with your prayer life to be effective. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Everybody say, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So when the problem is worry or anxiety, the prescription is what? Prayer. The prayer of commitment, the casting of your cares on the Lord. And the peace of God, verse 7. And then proper thinking, Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:6, 7, and 8 should be memorized by you, meditated by you, internalized by you, visualized by you, and verbalized by you. So Philippians 4:6, 7, and 8 should be meditated by you, memorized by you, internalized by you, visualized by you, and verbalized by you. So when the problem is worry, the first thing you do, Philippians 4:6, I've got to give it to the Lord, but I can't give it to him without saying thank you. Thank you, Lord. This is the problem. This is what I'm stressing about. This is what's troubling my mind and my heart and my soul. I'm giving it to the Lord. That's the prayer. But I have to pray and say thank you. Thank you for taking care of this. Thank you that I've given it to you, Lord. You have it. Thank you for taking care of it. I give the care of it over to you. That's what I was doing with the person that we were praying for in Washington State. I said, no. They're all fearful and anxious. The whole family is anxious and worried. I said, we got to give the care of it to the Lord first. We can't ask him to do anything with this surgery until we cast the care of it onto the Lord. So I led him through Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. Let's give it to the Lord. Let's say, thank you, Lord, for taking care of this. It was an hour before the surgery. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of this. So they all kind of follow suit. They're baby Christians. And so you can kind of lead them real easy when they're hungry and they want to learn. Let them to the Lord and then said, now let's pray about this operation. Because we've given the care of it over to the Lord. Now we can ask the Lord to take care of the, make it a smooth operation. We bless the doctors and nurses and the attending physicians and the anesthesiologists, et cetera, et cetera. We pray for a supernatural, smooth surgical procedure and a speedy recovery in the name of Jesus. Praise God. But we have to give the care to the Lord first. We got to give the worry to the Lord first. Because worry or anxiety means specifically in the Greek to means to have a mind divided, to have your mind torn apart by circumstances. So you're ripped up in the mind. You haven't even got to first base yet. We need to get to first base by giving our cares and worries to the Lord. But we do it with. That's how you live, thankful. Thank you, Lord, for taking. Don't just go to God and say, here, I'm dealing with this. What are you going to do about it? And walk out of his presence. No, you go in and say, I'm giving this to you, Lord. I surrender this. You told me not to carry my cares. You told me to cast all of my cares upon you because you care for me. You care about me. You care about what I'm going through. Yeah. Praise God. And I'm giving it to you, my Father. I don't care it. My load limit is zero. You can handle this. I can't handle this. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of this. Woo! Hallelujah. All right, next. We got more. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's underscored there? Giving thanks. Everybody say giving thanks. Amen. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the antidote, brothers and sisters, to sin and selfishness. Whatever you do, in other words, in words, the words you speak and the things you do and how you act and behave, you're supposed to do it all in the name of who? One guy was arguing one time. He mentioned to him. I said, mentioned it to him. It was at work. And he was talking about marijuana should be legalized in Texas and da-da-da. And he claimed to be religious, which I don't like even saying that, but I said, well, that scripture came to me. So you're going to smoke marijuana in the name of Jesus? He kind of shit his up. He had nothing to say. Because the scripture says do all things in what? So you're going to get high with the Most High and say, thank you, Father. It's the same thing if you gossip, right? It's just as sinful. I'm going to talk about you and gossip against you in the name of Jesus. Because the scripture says, do all in the name. Why is that should be a part of our wheelhouse of praise and thanksgiving, our faith life, our thanks living life? Why should it be? Because it's the antidote to sin and selfishness. If we're going to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to thank God for every word and deed, praise and thanksgiving are barometers of spiritual health. We can determine how spiritually healthy and whole we are by the way we say things and do all things. Because we know what sin is. Everybody, we talked about it on Wednesday night. But, you know, selfishness is sinful. Selfishness stinks. Everybody getting quiet now. We're supposed to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not doing this because I feel like doing it. Or I'm grown enough to do it. A man or woman enough to do it. I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. So I got to honor him with my words and my actions. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. Come on, let's thank the Lord for this. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. And you find out when people are selfish, they rarely give praise to other people or even tolerate praise and thanksgiving to other people. Their lips are closed. They don't say thank you. Even when somebody gives them something. What's this for? Thank you. Everybody say thank you. Thank you, Lord. All right, Hebrews 13:15. By him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the what? Fruit of our lips. Doing what? Giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. So the old covenant system offered animal sacrifice. We are now offering the sacrifice of our lips. What does that mean, brothers and sisters? That means we don't feel like it. We do it by faith. Because if you want to feel good and feel God at the same time, you'll probably be giving thanksgiving once or twice a year. But faith activates grace, right? Faith activates the power of God. Faith, feelings follow faith. So when you say thank you, God, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on now. You're activating by faith God's grace. Somebody say praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we give thanks to his name as a sacrifice of praise. Not that you feel like it, but you're doing it by faith. It's the sacrifice of your lips that comes out of your mouth. Your children, your grandchildren, your relatives, they all hear you this week say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're cooking the turkey, you're cooking the ham, you're cooking the side items or whatever. You're doing it with, you're sacrificing that love on that meal, but you're also sacrificing praise through your lips. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. So Christians now offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and worship to God. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, 1 Timothy 4:4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with what? Now I don't want to get in trouble here. But some people are always messing with stuff, right? Food. They don't want pork. They don't want, it's, what, they don't want, don't stop messing with my ham and bacon. Praise the Lord. Or they don't want this. They don't want that. Well, they're saying God created things that are not good. But the Word of God says what? For every creature of God is what? Is good. How is it good? And nothing to be refused. So you can have your duck. You can have your steak. You can have your brisket. Amen. You can have your pork. You can have your poultry, chicken, turkey. Your cake and pie and eat it too, right? So every creature of God is what? Good, and nothing's to be refused, but the condition is what? If it be received with. Now the following verse says it's sanctified. If you don't give thanks for it, it's not sanctified. It's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And it's a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you for this food. I call it into the ministry to give me energy, not to have me in a coma. So you don't get gluttonous. Thank God we're not gluttonous, right? Or we're not going to be. Praise God. Somebody said, we're thankful that we have enough food. Amen. And then if there's leftovers, okay, I can come back at the appropriate time for seconds or the next day. Thank you, Lord, right? But it's not supposed to be refused. If it be received with, because some people will try to put dietary restrictions on you. But God's word says every creature is good for food. And nothing to be refused. Think about the people in missionary country, different foreign lands. They may not be able to eat turkey and ham. They may have to eat a wild pig, a wild boar. And you might say, well, that's nasty. Well, nothing is good for food, and it's not supposed to be refused if it be received with what? Thanksgiving. Like those Africans, they eat ugali and all these other things. They might eat monkey. Some of them might eat snake. Thank you. We got to sanctify this food. Thank you. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. So we receive and eat our meals and food with Thanksgiving. Y'all got the picture. All right. All right. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Everybody say, I've received Christ Jesus the Lord. He says, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So to be rooted and built up and established and abounding in thanksgiving are all inevitable results of living a Christ-centered life. So people who are always complaining, griping, and fussing aren't living a Christ-centered life. They are not rooted and established in Christ. I'm teaching real good today. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, let's keep going. Keep going. Next slide. While we're doing that, let's lift our hands and thank God. First Timothy 2, 1 through 6. Now, 1 through 8, excuse me. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, one type of prayer, prayers, another one, intercessions, another one, and giving of thanks. Everybody say giving of thanks. Be made for all men. For how many people? All. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who would gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ, and I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Praise the Lord. All right. So complaining and criticizing about those civil and governmental authorities and in spiritual authority, in even our supervisors and managers and bosses, that's easy to do. But God tells us to do something else. Pray for them. And what we do is supplicate, pray, intercede, and give thanks. When we follow the directions of God's word and put first things first, we get results. This is especially true in regard to Scripture. If we follow the directions and put first things first, we can expect and receive from God the things he has provided for us. So again, another cure or antidote to sin and selfishness is you're not just praying for yourself. And even in Thanksgiving context, you're not just saying, thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for the people that like me and love me. He said, first of all, everybody say, first of all. First of all means first of all. If they catalog how many other people you gave thanks this year, would there be an uncountable number outside of your friends and family? Would they be able to count them? You understand what I mean, right? Because who's over you? Well, many of us have government civil leaders over us. We're American citizens. We have a mayor. We have a governor. We have lieutenant governors. We have city council representatives. We have what? President. I've been in conversations with amongst even other pastors that talk about the president. And I said, did you pray for the previous president? Did you pray for the president before that? Before that one? And I said, and they looked at me like, well, the Bible says, first of all, I'm not saying I voted for them, but I'm saying I pray for them. I thank you for thank and giving of thanks is including in that first of all. Oh, don't get tight on me. It's tight, but it's right, right? You might not like what the current president does, says, or acts out, but that's your feelings. That's not your faith. Your faith should be saying, first of all, I give you thanks for President Donald J. Trump. We're supposed to pray for our enemies. So if you didn't like him, if you didn't vote for him, you're still supposed to give thanks because God's word says giving of thanks. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you notice that along with supplications, you supplicate for saints and believers. Prayers, that's when you give worship, because we thank you for our government that's somewhat free and gives us freedom, right? And gives us liberty. We're not in bondage as countrymen, all right? And then he says intercessions. That means if they're not saved, they're not following Christ, we intercede for them. But we are to give thanks for them. Even if we see them doing all kinds of evil and wrong, we pray for them. There's a purpose. Why? Why? God wants us to think about and think about others first. And he says it in verse 2 and 4 through 4, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all what? Godliness and honesty or reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of the Savior. So we're not yelling at the TV screen when bad news comes up or the lies of the media come through. We're not getting upset when they're talking about the leaders and following into that trap of being criticizers, complainers, and condemners. God doesn't want you and I to live that way. We don't want you to live coming home complaining about your job, your boss, all their flaws and idiosyncrasies and how the company's changing and how things are bad. Because most people talk about and complain about other people. I've never been in a conversation where people complain or criticize themselves. They usually criticize and complain about other people. And most people in an employment situation or a business situation, they complain about the boss. They complain about the owners. I'm not going to pick on the Dallas Cowboy fans, but I'm just mentioning this because we play today. How many people complain about the owner? Even though he's made it the most successful and most wealthy franchise in history, sports. Number one. But man, he gets lambasted. He gets slaughtered. He's 85 years old or 80 something years old, and he gets criticized more than most owners ever. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. I've been preaching real good today. Amen. How many people complain about the pastor? People that complain and talk about the pastor don't necessarily pray for them or give thanks for them. You know how many thank you replies or thank you texts I get after a real good message? You get good food, right? You get good spiritual food. Thank you. Even though you stepped on my toes, thank you. Thank you for the correction. Thank you for the direction. Thank you for the spiritual protection. Give thanks. Give thanks. Ooh, glory to God. Somebody say, give thanks. It enables, Thanksgiving involves what? Remembering and valuing. Mentally, vocally, and verbally. I remember what you did. I remember how that message blessed me. Thank you. You remember it and you value it. Then it opens you up to receive more. Now, one of the things I've always seen as a spiritual leader, as a pastor, and even in the company context of the job, people who are ungrateful and thankful for that job or ungrateful and unthankful in church, they tend to close off. Their heart gets a little calloused. They're not able to receive as in the beginning. The preacher or the pastor doesn't excite them as much. They don't take notes anymore. They don't remember. They don't value the teaching of the Word of God. It's saving their life. It's saving their legacy, but they're closing up. Why? I'm thankful. Giving of thanks. Whew. Yeah, don't look at me in that tone of voice. Praise God, it happened to me, so I had to correct myself and repent under my pastors in the past. So it enables us to increase our capacity to receive more from God. You want to receive more from God? Come into church. Be thankful for this church. Be thankful for the word that you receive at Triumphant Word Christian Center. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. All right, let's close with this. Next slide, final slide. 1 Chronicles 16:4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank. Everybody say thank. Thank and praise the Lord God. So David appointed people just to say thank you. Just to praise God. You want a key to increase in multiplication? Jeremiah 30:19-20. Look at it. Out of them, let's talk about the congregation. Out of them, everybody say, out of us, shall proceed what? Thanksgiving. The voice of those who make merry. I will what? God said, I will multiply. First comes out of us, thanksgiving. If Pastor Cynthia leads in praise and worship and she's telling, lift your hands, say, thank you, Lord. We all in unison and unity say, thank you, Lord. Right? Amen. He said, I will multiply them and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. And their children shall also be as before. And the other congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all those who oppress you. Isn't that a good promise? But what proceeded first? Thanksgiving. Out of who? Not just him or her. It was out of them. Out of them. Then multiplication came. God promised, I will multiply them. Why? Because they are increasing their capacity to receive more people, more help, more money by saying, thank you, Lord. So thanksgiving precedes multiplication and increase in God establishing our children and our congregation. That's huge. Everybody say it with me. I can't afford to be unthankful and ungrateful. Look at somebody else and says, look at that, look at them smile real nice. They said, you and I can't afford to complain, criticize, and be judgmental. In Jesus' name. Amen. We got to be thankful. Got to be grateful, right? What does he say? Psalms 104, verse 4. Enter into his what? Gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be what? Thankful to him and bless his name. That means say something good about his name. Amen? So let's practice. You can practice that every Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday night, when you get on that Zoom Sunday night or coming through these doorposts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for this place that we can worship you together. Thank you that we can come and gather. Thank you that somebody brought refreshments. And there's coffee and, well, today's hot chocolate and water. Thank you, Lord. Don't just go over there and just assume it. What gets us in trouble? I deserve. You deserve. You get entitled and you become unthankful. You stop remembering and you stop valuing. You take for granted what's given to you. You take for granted the blessings of even having a pastor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And here, how do you get into God's presence? What's the password? Thanksgiving. Or thank you. You get the password. How do I come in? Thank you. You coming in with complaints? Requests? No. Come in with thank yous. That's why we always say you should be thanking God 10, 12, 15 times for who he is and what he's done and what he's doing. Don't be thanking him just because of what he's done. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for who he is. So be an addicted thanksgiver. Be a praiseaholic. Praise God. Come on, lift your hands and thank. You stand with me, please. Stand with me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.